Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's show is part of our Classics Collection, which is a series of select rebroadcasts. Some programs are so captivating. God somehow uses our guests to touch us at the gut level. You'll know why when you hear this one. I'm joined by my co-host Martin Arinaga in one of our most stirring features with Max and Erica Neves. You may have heard the term joy unspeakable, but on the other side, there are moments of grief unspeakable. And God, in His marvelous grace, will at times use certain select people, tender-hearted, yes, even broken-hearted people, to speak when others cannot, in order to gently administer healing and hope. Jesus has often been referred to as the wounded healer. Well, He has sent two of His very own to come today in His name to administer the soothing balm, His soothing balm, to those who suffer from the deepest of pain, the deepest of grief. In June of 2009, our guests, Max and Erica Neves, suffered the loss of their son, Joshua, due to complications of the H1N1 flu virus. Rage, doubt, sadness, anger, depression, loneliness, absolute despair were part of the gamut of emotions they felt. They're here with us today. We want to let you know as we begin our show, as is customary, to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio show is to remind you how much God loves you. And He knows you. Yes, you. And the very details, you know, He's very intricate and meticulous in His knowledge of us. And He knows the very depths of the way our hearts move in the ebb and flow of life. So He knows what you're going through. And He's here to strengthen you, to comfort you, to fill you with His hope. Max and Erica Neves have launched the Joshua Neves Children's Foundation with the vision of helping families suffering from the loss of a child. Max and Erica, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you for having us.
You know, God is a God of divine appointments. And we have a special moment here, and Max, we share a special moment together. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that in a little while. But take us back, Max and Erica, to the moments leading up to this that changed your lives forever.
Well, I remember it was a Wednesday afternoon. I had stopped by Walmart to pick up a cheap toy to play with Joshua in the backyard. I think it was like $1, $2. And I remember going in the backyard and playing with him. It was about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and it was a rocket that he would jump on, and it would fly in the air, and he was so energetic. We had so much fun back there. I remember wrestling with him and laughing with him, and we're running around playing chase and jumping on the rocket. And I remember there was a point where he was jumping by himself, and I remember sitting down on a bench we have in the backyard and just looking at him and just thinking, my gosh, man, it doesn't get better than this. You know, it truly doesn't get better than this. And I remember numerous times having been with Joshua and stepping away and seeing him, how much joy and love he had within him and how much that brought to us. And I remember looking at my wife and thinking, you know, what could we have possibly done in our lifetime to have deserved love like this? And the answer is nothing. You know, God just trusted us with this precious little boy. And that night we went to had dinner at home and we watched Spider-Man, which he loved. He loved Spider-Man and he was fine. He had so much energy. I just couldn't comprehend how much energy he had. And no fever, nothing. Went to sleep. Next morning I went to work early. Left the house about 6 o'clock. And I'll let Erica tell the rest of that.
I think what makes it such a hard thing to comprehend is that he was so healthy the day before. No signs of illness, no sign that anything was wrong. Like Max saying, laughing and playing and just having a great time like any other normal day. And when he woke up that next morning, that Thursday morning, he was running a low-grade fever. It was 101.2. And as coincidence would have it, he actually had a doctor's appointment that afternoon because we had enrolled him in a Christian preschool, so he had to go and get his TB test and all of that stuff. So he woke up, we had breakfast, you know, chicken noodle soup and orange juice, and he laid down to rest a little bit. And I called the doctor's office because actually I was concerned that, you know, because he wasn't feeling well and he was running a fever, that maybe the TB shot would make him a little more aggravated or whatnot. And they said, no, bring him in the afternoon. But when he laid down in the living room to go take a nap before his appointment, I noticed that he wasn't being very responsive. Like he wasn't, you know, wakeful, right? He was just resting, but I couldn't kind of wake him up. And so, you know, I called 911. I said, you know, something's wrong, and started administering CPR. I called Max. I told him, you know, you got to come home. Something's wrong with Joshua. And, you know, next thing you know, we're in the ambulance. We're being rushed to the emergency room, and they really wouldn't tell me anything. And the devastating thing is, how do you go from your son is healthy and vibrant to he has a fever, he's taking a nap, and now you can't wake him up, basically. So it all was kind of like an ambush. And he was in the emergency room. You know, Max met us at the hospital. He's on his knees praying, and there's so many people, you know, helping and nurses and doctors. And once he was out of the emergency room, we just thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you, thank you. We didn't know why this happened, but thank you, Lord, for getting him, because we thought that was a good sign, right? Mm-hmm. They rushed him to, you know, intensive care, but still, you know, he was sort of on support with all of the machines and everything. And we just kept praying for a miracle, you know, please, God, he's only 3 years old. Please give us a miracle. And he was in there just a little more than 24 hours when the doctors told us that, you know, there's like pretty much nothing more that they could do for him, and his vitals weren't looking good and all of that. And I kept kind of yelling at Max saying, like, you know, where is it? Where is it? And he'd say, where is what? And I said, where is our miracle? You know, where is our miracle? And you think that, you know, you're good people, you're Christian, you're doing the right thing, you have your son enrolled in a Christian preschool, you're walking the walk, and why would this happen? You know, not that bad things only happen to bad people, but you think if you're a good person, like, why would, you know, why wouldn't God intervene for a miracle? And on Friday, you know, afternoon, he had passed, and we sort of sat there thinking, this cannot be our life. Like, you know, how could this possibly have happened? And it, you're just kind of in a fog of numbness and disbelief, and, you know, you think, where was God and all of that? And I know that with other families that we've spoken to who have also experienced the loss of a child, that's pretty much the number one question. Yeah. People ask, where was God and all of that? But as we look back, we realize that, you know, God was always there. Yeah. He was always there. You think, why didn't he answer our prayer? But he answered it in a way that, you know, just wasn't what we wanted, but it was his will that was done. And that was really hard to accept, obviously, initially, but I think if there was one thing that I could have changed early on, you know, after Joshua passed, was that I would have clung to Christ more, because I think in my sadness and my loss and my questioning of the Lord, it sort of separated me from him for a period. And I think the further we get away from Christ and the further we get away and the more questions we ask of him, that we're realizing that, you know, we're trying to do it on our own. And if there was anything I would say to someone that has, you know, recently experienced grief or is still dealing with that, is as much as you don't understand it, as much as you disagree with it, as much as you question it, still your source of strength is going to come from God and God alone. And despite however you're feeling, you have to cling to him because he's the only one that's going to get you through that most difficult time in your life.
You know, when Erica and Max share, you know, things are fresh in the way that, you know, these things, it's you know, sometimes you hear people, they talk about something that happened a decade ago and, you know, time has healed. They've experienced the touch of God for them to be here to articulate in the way that they're sharing. But, you know, these things, grief is a mysterious experience that people go through. And what they've experienced could be the ultimate. And but somebody today, you might be feeling like you're pretty much off the charts too in terms of what you're feeling and what you're experiencing. And you're wondering, how can I cope? Maybe you can't even put it into words. Words cannot express. When we come back, Max and Erica will share about the process. How did they cope? How did it affect them individually and them as a married couple? What did God use, or who did God use to comfort them, to strengthen them? And how can God use that to touch you? Stay with us. We'll be right back with more from Max and Erica Nevis.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. It's such a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to a special rebroadcast program, which is part of the Classics Collection here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. Find out more at thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can get other resources, find out even how to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which gave our guest here Max and Erica Nevis, A Special Strength and Hope. You'll hear more about it and as you listen to this show. And to find out more about them and the foundation that they started, the Joshua Nevis Children's Foundation, you can get information there at nevisfoundation.org. Now, here's more with Max and Erica Nevis. Before I break, Max and Erica were sharing about Joshua and the events. It's like a snap moment that literally changed their lives forever. And before our break, we were processing. Erica was sharing how she processed and how she related with Christ and the question of, you know, where is our miracle? Where is God in this situation? And but, you know, Max and Erica, through this, have heard from the Lord and have responded in a way that they started a foundation, the Joshua Nevis Children's Foundation, with a precise purpose of ministering to people and families who have suffered the loss of their children. And they certainly have a voice and a unique way in communicating.
I think just so that we can get the time frame, we're talking about less than 2 years ago, mm-hmm. right, that Joshua yeah. went home to the Lord. So that's, it seems to me, a very short time. I guess my question is, how did you initially cope? Did you handle it well? Because from now, of course, 2 years is a lot of time too, but things have happened. And I know when people have asked me after the loss of someone mm-hmm. in my family, how are you doing? I would say, I'm okay. Knowing behind those words are, no, it's not good at all. You just don't want to hear it right now. Right. So what kind of feelings did you have, and how were you able to cope with all those feelings that came coming across your heart?
I think for me, I mean, obviously in disbelief, you know, a bunch of things come to mind where, I've been a Christian 15 years prior to Joshua having passed, and you know God has been there for you so many times in your life that has pulled you away from a truck hitting you or getting you out of an accident or getting you a job. So all those times seem insignificant to this moment that you prayed the hardest. You had thousands of people praying mm-hmm. when you only needed two or more gather, and he's mm-hmm. there. So you knew he heard. We knew he was hearing our prayers, but yet for some reason he answered, but it wasn't the answer that we wanted. It was no, he must come home. And I remember going and talking to Pastor Wayne, and I was just losing my mind, and he just pulled me off to the side, and he's very stern with me, and he looked me in the eyes, and he said, you know, Max, all those years you've been coming to church, all those years you've been doing your devotions, and I remember him sternly looking at me, now is the time to apply everything you've learned. Now is the time. And I remember Pastor Elwin, bless his heart, without Pastor Elwin, we would not be here today, coming over to our home and just guiding us back to the Bible. He really had no answers. You know, nobody had answers, but he gave us a route, you know, mm-hmm. to the Bible. Mm-hmm. And we always read the Bible, but never with the intention of pure healing and answers. And I remember just being in a rage. I had to keep my composure when I was at home around Erica, trying to guide her back to God and trying to continue to go to church in spite of being mad with God. But I remember this one day being at Manoah Park, clear as day. And I remember it was raining, and I was in the middle of the park, and I was screaming at God, throwing my fist at him. And I called God every name I could possibly imagine, everything. I uncensored everything from the bottom of my feet all the way up with just pure rage, wondering why. Why would you do this to us? You know, why would you just allow this to happen? You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you can, the creator of all things, and you would either allow this to happen or you made it happen. Either way, my son is gone. You gave me a gift that was just filled my heart with love, and you just ripped it from me. And he just ripped so many dreams that I had for that little boy, you know. And I remember talking to a pastor on the mainland a couple weeks after that. I mean, it was ugly. It was really ugly. And I thought I hurt God. And that felt good that I hurt him, because he hurt me. that he didn't defend me. He didn't defend our relationship. And after talking to the pastor on the mainland, he had lost a child as well. And I'll never forget this to the day I die. I remember him telling me that he was laughing. And I was offended. And I'm like, why are you laughing? He said, Max, because for the first time in your life, you truly gave God all of your attention. For the first time in this so-called relationship you have with Jesus Christ, you wasn't worrying about sports or work or TV or paying the bills or what you were going to do. Every ounce of your energy was focused on Him. And I promise you, Max, that in the midst of that pain, in the midst of you being so close to hell, that was the happiest day of his life with you. And I lost my mind. I couldn't comprehend that, but it made so much sense after that. That, you know, he just wants us, period. He just wants us, period. And after that, I truly, really, I just gave myself to God in every way I could. I volunteered in every way I could at Manoa. I ended up becoming the extension's director there, putting on events and stuff, and just crying out to God. I would reach for his robe. I would chase him down. Because it was at that moment that I realized I didn't have the faith that I thought I did. Mm. So I had to chase down other people who had greater faith than me until I could get that faith.
You know, Eric, man, you know, let me just say this, Max. You know what? We need to be raw. We need to open up. I think we need more of that in the body of Christ today.
Absolutely.
And push the facade away.
Exactly.
You know, and whatever charades we may be playing, and knowing that God, you know, sometimes anger and rage, from an emotional standpoint, is very close to the deepest of our passions, and the deepest of the chasing after the robe of God, as you said, man.
You know, in speaking with several parents, really, that have, they say, you know, death is real. Everybody can accept that, but it's harder when it hits home, and especially it's harder when a parent has to bury their child. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
It's not right.
Right.
No, that's the type of grief I can't even comprehend. Mm-hmm. And yet you've been able to manage. You know, Pastor Ahu drew you back into the Bible. Pastor Wayne challenged you and reminded you about your faith. You know, there are a lot of people, though, that maybe don't have the benefit of having people like that, wise people that are strong in faith. They can see where you need to go, or don't know where to go, but at least they know, like they said, Max, you talked about the route. What can you say to somebody who is experiencing any type of grief, maybe not even at the level that you have, but just a great sadness? Where do they go? And if they don't have the people around them, they can support them.
I would say just reach out for support. And, you know, I, for one, Max can attest to, can be pretty stubborn sometimes, and I want to do everything my own, and I don't want to feel like I'm a burden to somebody else. So early on, I didn't ask for any help. I just figured, you know, I'm going to figure it out myself. And Max is the opposite. You know, he's the sociable guy. He's the guy that's always, you know, going to pastors, going to people, reaching out, asking for help, asking for support. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, I don't want to burden anybody, so I'm going to just figure it out myself. And, you know, I don't want anybody to be around me, and I'll process it on my own. But, you know, Max had the right attitude, because I think you just cannot. You cannot do it on your own. So whether you go to, you know, a hospital to find, you know, bereavement support groups, whether you, you know, get plugged into a church and have people just simply pray for you and be there and put hands on you and try and lift you up and encourage you, it's so, so important to sort of, I can't say remove yourself from the situation, but I guess remove that stubborn attitude and really ask for help, you know, because you can't do it on your own. It's so important to have people to say a kind word to, or just to have someone listen to you, you know, and sit there so that you can process it, so you can talk about it, so you don't repress it and bottle it up. And, you know, there are a lot of organizations, you know, out there that, that can give you counseling and things like that. And there's no shame in asking for even professional help. You know, Max and I always kind of joke when we talk to friends or family, or we have to have my mom watch our daughter, we say we're going to go see our psychologist today, or our psychologist said this, and we kind of giggle thinking, when did we ever think that we would have a, you know, a psychologist? But it's different, yeah, when you just have different perspectives. You can talk to people at church and have people pray for you, and that uplifts you. And then you can talk to a counselor of some kind that can just give you practical steps and practical ways to process your grief. So I think just really reaching out and making the effort to ask for help is so beneficial.
You know, Max and Erica have started the Joshua Nevis Children's Foundation, and you can get support. You can help. That ministry can help connect you, Joshua Nevis Children's Foundation. You can visit them at thenevisfoundation.org to find out more information about that. That could be, Erica, one of the first or initial ways to reach out.
Exactly.
You know, like you said, some guys, and it may be the man, it may be the woman who have more of a disposition like Max, who, you know, would go out and talk. And yet at the same time, equally so, there's somebody like you and your disposition where you would be more inclined to just kind of keep it within, you know, and process it on your own.
When I think of the foundation, I really think heavily of Paul in Corinthians asking Jesus to remove the thorn from his flesh. But nobody could see that thorn that Paul had. And nobody can see the pain that we're going through, because we're not walking around with a cast on our arm or a cast on our leg. Mm-hmm. Our heart and soul is just shredded.
Mm-hmm.
And every single person who goes through the passing of a loved one, whether it's a wife or whether it's a child, they're walking around limping.
Mm-hmm.
Their soul is limping.
Mm-hmm.
And really, people aren't going to walk up to you and ask you if you need help. You need to be responsible enough in your own life to reach out to people. We unfortunately now belong to a fraternity that we didn't want to belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fraternity of families who have lost children.
Mm.
And so we want to scream, we want to yell, we want to promote this organization as loud as possible, so you know where to go, so that you can talk to people, you can cry with people, you can yell with people who understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're speaking a language to other people that they truly don't get. They don't understand. And these people that they want to reach out to you, they want to love you, they want to say things. The only reason why they're quiet is because they don't want to say the wrong thing, and they cannot comprehend for the life of them having gone through the valley that you're going through. So reach out to people who understand the pain, who don't want to go through the pain but can truly appreciate the pain. Because when the lights go out and you're all alone and there's no one to call, only Jesus Christ, only no other supposed God, no other ritual, no other destination, no TV show, no radio, no book, nothing will get you through that valley except Jesus Christ. And that's what this organization is based on. It's not our organization. It's put together through the love of Jesus Christ. And you need to reach out to real people who have experienced real pain as you have.
When we come back from our break, we're going to spend some more time talking. You know, sometimes you think things could just absolutely never get any worse than what we're going through. And then something else happens. When we come back, you'll hear more from Max and Erica. Remember, reach out, www.thenevisfoundation.org. God could use that to help you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician
Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Carrie Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Carrie Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Crisis moments, that's what we're talking about today. Oh gosh, it could be a financial crisis, it could be a health crisis, a family crisis. The thing is, you can never prepare for it. They take you as it's a shock when you experience it. We can all relate. This is a special rebroadcast as part of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show's Classics Collection. To find out more about this show and others, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.org to receive our ministry resources and discover even how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, let's take in more in this special program of The Good Life with Max and Erica Nevis. Max and Erica have an incredible story to tell, which they have been telling. They have started the Joshua Nevis Children's Foundation. You can find out more information at nevisfoundation.org. That's nevisfoundation.org. They're going to share a little bit more about that with us. In a recent article in Life at Its Best magazine, the November-December 2010 issue, Erica, you said God already knew that Joshua was going to be here for 3 years. I'm just glad he sent him for the 3 years. He didn't have to send him. He trusted us with the pain. He trusted us with the pain. And now we're using that pain to help others through their pain. When you said that, you connected with a lot of people in many ways. Share with us, Erica, a little bit more about what that means to you.
You know, it's hard to accept that Joshua was only here for 3 years. Yeah, when we were in the hospital praying for him, I remember just telling Max, you know, and Max was saying, you know, he's going. And I said, no, God cannot have him yet. He can have him when he's 80. He cannot have him when he's 3. And I really protested that. But I think, I am so grateful for every second of every minute of every day that Joshua was here. And you know, God's ways are not our ways, yeah? Mm-hmm. And we cannot understand why things happen. But through all of this, we look back now and we can reflect that clearly there was a purpose for Joshua's life. And as much as we, you know, want to resist or disagree, I think the purpose obviously is to reach other people who are suffering, other people who are in pain, and trying to, you know, lead them to Christ or lead them to find healing through the church and through prayer. And I think, you know, that's what Max and I, that's what our belief is in founding this organization in Joshua's memory, is really taking our experience and our pain and reaching other people who are suffering. And Max always likes to use the quote that it's broken people helping broken people. He's going to wish he said that, but I'll just give him heads up on that. But yeah, he always says, yeah, we're like broken people helping broken people. So but true. It's true, because, you know, if you found an organization just because you have a heart to do something good, it doesn't really have depth unless you yourself have gone through it. And I think that's what we've gone through. So we really want to reach others and give them help and support that they need, the same way we would hope that people would give us the support that we need through this time.
You can visit nevisfoundation.org. Nevisfoundation.org. You might be just tuning in right now and you're listening and something's caught you and you don't even know why. I don't even know why I'm listening, you might be thinking, but something has touched your heart. Something has gripped you, and you feel like God is moving in your life. There's a slim beam of hope that's beginning to radiate in your heart. Well, you can connect more, find out more. God can use this time to bring healing to you. And you know what? God could use you just like He's using Max and Erica.
And if you can multitask as you scroll and look through the website, I'm going to listen up because I'm going to ask another question. Now, you were done going through this ordeal with Joshua. And then I guess, Max, you had shared earlier that you had God prompting you with a question, and you followed up on it, and more things unfolded in your life. Would you mind sharing that experience?
It's amazing. God is amazing. When you think that, you know, you've hit the lowest of lows, God, for whatever reason, feels that you can take more, and we had to take another hit. As soon as Joshua passed away, clear as day, just absolutely clear as day, I could feel this feeling, this voice come upon me asking me to ask my wife if she would be willing to have another baby within minutes of Joshua passing. And I thought, wow, what a cruel question. There's no way I would ask her that. And I waited and I prayed and I prayed. And for 2 weeks, every day I would hear it, just this soft, soft feeling. Well, I asked my wife, and of course she thought I was crazy, and she went off praying about it, and a month later, after praying, she decided, you know, I really believe that is of God, that God wants us to try and have another baby. And this was in September, and I'm 40, and my wife at that time was 38, and we got pregnant the very next month in October. Just amazing. We got pregnant, and we thought, oh my gosh, there's some hope at the end of the tunnel, you know, God is amazing, God knows what He's doing. What it really made us feel was that God knows what He's doing. God knew what He was doing when He allowed Joshua to be taken. And this isn't a replacement for Joshua. We will never be able to replace Joshua, but this was just a knock on the door saying, hey guys, I'm here. I know what I'm doing. So we placed a lot of hope in this child, and you know, we were very, very happy and already thinking about names and everything. And life can be really cruel at times. And then there's a different level. And I remember waking up on Christmas morning at about 6 a.m. on Christmas Day and hearing my wife crying in the bathroom. And I walk in there to find out that she had lost the baby. On Christmas morning, a voice a few months ago that told me that we should try and have a baby was honored within a month. And we sat there in the bathroom having lost two children within a 6-month period. And I lost my mind. I truly lost my mind. And 2 days later, 2:00 in the morning, I had woken up and I walked into the kitchen and decided today was going to be the day that I killed myself. And I took a handful of pills, sleeping pills, from the cabinet. And I just felt so heavy-hearted. I felt just so much anger in me. I was almost numb. And I remember about lifting my hand to my face, about to take the pills, and I just was shaking so hard, so hard. And I ended up dropping all the pills and falling to the ground and just shaking and crying out to God, screaming out to God. And I decided from that point on that I wasn't going to be lukewarm for the Lord anymore. Because you can't do anything with lukewarm water. Cold water, you can make iced tea. Hot water, you can make cocoa and coffee. But lukewarm, you throw it out. It's useless. So I decided just to pour, just to completely surrender myself to the Lord. I got rebaptized, and we both got rebaptized in January. And my life has not been the same. The Lord has truly revealed himself in ways that I can't even comprehend. I can't even explain to you how he has showed up in the middle of the night, how he has just wrapped his arms around me in public as I've cried, missing my son. But you know what? The pain is okay because I know who's with me. And there's no doubt in my mind now that I am still in the valley. The wound is still very deep. I will be in pain for the rest of my life. You know? And that's what's hard, is you can't run from this because it's based on love. There's so much love involved in the loss of my son, but the only way to overcome and to get through is to chase down a greater love. And the only greater love than one for your family member is the love of Jesus Christ. It's all about relationship. It's all about him. It's not about me. If I wouldn't hurt my son, why would he hurt his own son? He wouldn't. He didn't. He's playing with my son right now in heaven.
And so I guess in your grief, you had a choice of either running away from God or running to God.
Yeah.
And you,
that made all the difference.
Fortunately for us and the rest of the world, you ran to God.
Yeah. He didn't run to me. He has never moved. He's been there through my whole life. And I was just one step away from turning back to him.
You know, Max, this isn't the first time we've talked.
No, it isn't.
There's another connection that we have. Would you share that with us?
A little after, a few days after we lost the second child on Christmas Day, I had never listened to your radio show before, but I remember being at a job up in Kahala, back where Tony Roma's used to be, and I was just crying my eyes out in my truck, just losing my mind. And I remember turning on the radio and your show was on and it was the tail end of the show. And I thought, man, I just need to talk to somebody. I need to express how I feel. And I called your show and I was the last caller and you took the call and you were kind enough to just let me share my heart and just, you know, cry out to you. And the response I got was, a gentleman on your show had said that to the pain that he had gone through, that he had spent a few weeks and all of his life and all he did was just read the New Testament. He did nothing else but read the New Testament. And that helped me because I did do that. I didn't read the entire New Testament, but all I did, I started with Red Letters. All I read was Red Letters. I just went straight to Jesus. Every word he said, I was just like, it was food to me. It was food. It wasn't all this time, it was just print. You know, it was just black ink on white paper. And all of a sudden, it just started talking to me and screaming to me. And I tell you, if I could say just one last thing, that helped me. That helped me out a great deal. But I remember the greatest thing that was said to me was the day after that. I went to a psychiatrist in Kaimuki, Kahala, a Christian psychiatrist. And I walked into his room just crying my eyes out, crying, crying, crying. And he sat me down and I told him that I had just lost my 3-year-old son. And he nodded and he's an older gentleman in his late 80s. And he put up 3 fingers himself. And I said, yeah, my son was 3. And he said, no, I lost 3 children. I lost 3 children myself. And I said, wow, how did you lose 3 children and get through this? And he looked at me and he said, let me ask you a quick question. He goes, are you married right now? I said, yes. He goes, where's your wife? I said, at home. He goes, you still married? I said, yes. He goes, you ever been on a business trip away from your wife? I said, yes. He goes, "Are you still married when you're away from your wife?" I said, "Yes." And he leaned in, grabbed my shirt, pulled me close, and he says, "Your son isn't with you, but you're still his father. Act like it." He said, "Your son is depending on you and leading your wife, leading yourself, leading your daughter. Lean on the Lord." That's how I got through what I got through. And I'll never forget that till the day I die.
Max and Erica have started a ministry, a foundation, the Joshua Neves Children's Foundation. You can find out more at nevesfoundation.org. That's nevesfoundation.org. When we come back, they're going to share with us about the program they have, the programs they have, the ministry, the opportunities. Just like how they said, reach out for help. Well, through the Neves Foundation, they're reaching out to you. Reaching out to you, their arms outstretched. And you know what? It's God's arms through them, reaching out and touching you. Stay with us. We'll hear more from Max and Erica when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It's a blessing to be with you. Did you know that you are a blessing? You're a blessing from God to those around you. And God has His hand of grace and blessing upon you as well. This is a special rebroadcast presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show as part of our Classics Collection, providing the connection with stories of faith and life from our featured guests. If you're asking, how can I have this kind of relationship with Christ that can help in times of crisis like Max and Erica? Well, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org, click the Get to Know Jesus tab. We also have more resources there at thegoodlifehawaii.org. But now, here's more with Max and Erica Neves. Max and Erica, you have started the Joshua Neves Children's Foundation. Tell us about your your ministry?
Well, initially, we started with our first event late last year during the holidays, where families could come together in remembrance of their child and place an ornament on the Christmas tree and have the prayer team pray over them, because we feel that that's so, so important. Share, you know, hear a testimony, hear a message of hope. And that was our first event. And, you know, going into this year, we have several events that we're going to have annually. Every year we'll have four fellowship picnics scattered throughout the year. And they can go to the website to look for, you know, more information on that. But that's really to bring these bereaved families together. Even, you know, we have a heart to support those families who are currently who currently have children facing, you know, serious or life-threatening illness, because that's a different kind of hardship and adversity as well. But we want these families to, for lack of sounding cliche or anything, but really to try and have a good day, if that's at all possible, in the midst of their circumstance. Because through our own experience, we know obviously good days are few and far between, and that's not always easy to come by. It's very easy in your grief or in your adversity to kind of shut off the rest of the world and keep to yourself. But we want people to say, you know, for those with surviving children, for those that, you know, with their spouses that are dealing with the loss of a child, to be around people. Yeah, be around people. Share your story. Get out in the sunshine. You know, have an opportunity to really refresh yourself, because there's only so much that you can do on your own at home or being reclusive. You kind of got to get out there and be around other people that can hear your story, that, you know, you can share a good meal with, that people can pray for you, and just be around that kind of environment. And so we have four fellowship picnics planned throughout the year. We're going to have another remembrance event over the holidays. And it's really a way for families who, you know, maybe have friends and family who don't want to talk about their child. You know, like Max was saying earlier, people don't want to say the wrong thing, so they end up saying nothing. There's so many times when you get together with people where they feel like they don't want to bring up your child's name because they don't want to upset you, and really all you want to do is talk about your child, you know. So in these events that the organization is putting on, it's really this safe haven for families to share their story and remember their children and be in fellowship.
Now, okay, what about somebody who hasn't lost a child, but God brings people who have lost a child into their life, or they cross paths? From your experience, what would be a way, like you said, they want to talk about the child. How would somebody who hasn't been there minister in a way that's meaningful?
Well, I have a couple of suggestions. I mean, just from our personal experience, one, I think be a proactive friend. If you have someone that you know that's lost a child, that's grieving, it's one thing to just sort of say, you know, let me know if you need any help. But like I had shared earlier, I'm not going to be a burden to somebody, so I'm not going to ask for help. But we had a handful of proactive friends that will just, for lack of a better term, sort of force their way back into your life, and just say, you know what, I'm coming over to your house. I'm going to bring you guys dinner. Do you want me to come on Wednesday or Thursday? And they just show up, and it's such a blessing. You know, people who come over and will say, how are you feeling today? People who reach out. I mean, we've had such amazing people that we didn't expect, sort of, I don't want to say random people, but just acquaintances who would send us a card in the mail 6 months later. And we thought, wow, this is amazing. Like, you know, people are thinking of you, but for them to reach out and be proactive in that, it's one thing, you know, you're never going to offend somebody, you know, that is grieving by asking them to talk about their child. Either they're going to talk about them or not, but be proactive in reaching out to that family, because I think that makes such an impact.
Yeah, I think Erica hit it dead on. You know, there can always be the excuse of not wanting to say the wrong thing, but Hallmark has made millions of dollars off of cards because people don't know what to say. They just hand out the words of someone else with them saying that that's how they feel. Well, hand out a card, give them a book, go to a Christian bookstore, buy a book on grieving or a book on hope, or drop by and just give them a balloon, tell them you're thinking of them, give them a hug. You know, really, I think that what helped us a lot was that God put the right people ahead of us, knowing we were going through this. And if I can be so bold, if you're a Christian, then be a Christian. Reach out and be bold enough to talk to someone that's hurting, whether they're a stranger, whether they're a friend, a loved one. Hey, just be bold in your approach. love on them, be expressive to them, say you're sorry, say there's no words to be that match the pain, but do something. Really, standing back as a bystander really doesn't help the person all that much. So that's why with this organization, we want to be proactive. Mm. We understand that a lot of people who don't know the Lord, they're just in the dark. They're just staying in a corner and they're feeling the pain, and no one else can understand that pain. And a lot of people aren't bold enough to go up to them to give them the help. Well, that's not going to be the case with us. Mm-hmm. We are definitely, the reason why we're putting on so many events instead of just Christmas events, which most organizations do, is because we want to shrink the dots. We want to bring the dots closer to create community over short periods of time so that people realize that they don't have to be alone. Mm-hmm. If they are alone, then they're choosing to be alone. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be alone.
You know, Max, I'm looking at your website, and you mentioned you have the events, mm-hmm. these fellowship times, but even in your support services, you know, you've got support for children in the NICU, mm-hmm. Support for children in the PICU. Explain to us about that.
Well, you know, through our experience, obviously Joshua was in the PICU, the pediatric intensive care unit, and in speaking with our psychologist at the hospital, we know that so many parents experience loss in those areas, yeah, where children are seriously ill, children are fighting for their lives. I mean, at one point, we know that there were several children that had passed in 1 week because if they're born premature, you know, they have challenges really in their first year of life. So for us to have a heart because of what we went through to help those families whose children are in intensive care, that's what we want to do as far as funding for them, financial assistance. Our organization also is there to help people who need to plan a service. You know, when Joshua had passed, you're in this fog of numbness and confusion and disbelief. And truly, if we didn't have a friend sort of take the lead, we don't even know if we would have had the strength to plan a service, let alone mm-hmm. have your mind around what needs to be done and organization and things like that. So, you know, even if it's not the family that is reaching out, even a friend of this family could call us and say, I need help planning a service. You know, where do we even start? Where do we begin? And we can help them with that, because that's a very difficult situation. And we want, you know, through our fundraising efforts as well, to help families to help them financially, because, you know, when we had gone through our planning process, you know, people threw out figures at the funeral homes, like it's going to be $6,000 or $7,000. And you think, oh my gosh, you can't even believe that you have to do this, let alone the financial responsibility behind it. So we just have a heart to really help families during that difficult time, whether it's the hospitalization or, you know, after a child has passed, we want to be there to help get them through that.
You even have support for children and the surviving siblings too.
Yes, I think that's if you can hear anything, more than anything, these events, like the Christmas event that we put on December 2nd, yes, you do bring an ornament of your child, but really, truly, the event is for you. The event, these picnics, these Christmas events, our children are having a blast right now. They're jumping on Jesus's lap. They're playing. They're having fun. We're the ones with the pain because we're left behind. We're left behind holding our empty bag of dreams that should have been filled by our children with love and joy and experiences. But that isn't the case anymore. So right now, what you need to do is you need to reach out to people. You need to reach out to an organization of people, a group of people that understand your pain, that can look through the skin, that can look through the bones and see the broken soul. Only Jesus Christ can do that. But Jesus Christ can do that through broken people, helping broken people.
This has been a special rebroadcast of a previously recorded show featuring Max and Erica Nevis. If you'd like to learn more about our show or need prayer or want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. I also have a list of partner churches and businesses who are able to help meet your needs. 2 Chronicles 15:4 says, "But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and he was found by them." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guests today, Max and Erica Nevis. Remember, nevisfoundation.org. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro, and my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.